Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Okay, today I'm bringing back my friend John Cannell of Preppy Kitchen. He has a new cookbook out called Preppy Kitchen Super Easy, which of course gets me right away. Anything that can be easy in the kitchen, I'm interested in. This book is so beautiful. We're going to talk about the book, about baking, about his beautiful social media and the videos that he makes, and also about fatherhood and how he and his husband are raising their two boys to be so involved and hands-on in the kitchen and comfortable in the kitchen, all with the help of a little scale. So we'll get right into it. Welcome, John. John, I just got home last night and I opened up my mail and I was like, yay, I have the actual book. It's so exciting. It's such a beautiful book, of course. Anybody who knows you or has followed you for as long as I have knows that everything is done so beautifully, thoughtfully, and just like very aesthetically pleasing. Like this is something you want to be out in your kitchen or in your home on its own. So it gets even more exciting when you open it up and everything is also equally as beautiful. So congrats on this.
Thank you.
So exciting.
Very sweet of you.
Let's just talk about why put this book out, because you have such a beautiful Instagram. You do everything so interactively, so joyfully, and putting it in hard copy is very different.
So daunting. It's like, you know, you all have so many do-overs when anything's on the web. Like if you had a blog post and you're like, oh, no, let me just fix that up for you. No, this is like in people's kitchens, in the physical form and permanent. But something that I think you could relate to as well is like as your kids get older, life just gets exponentially busy and you still live with the best of intentions. You still want to have those moments with your kids. You want to put delicious food on the table, have your family come together. But so many days you're just hanging by your fingernails, like trying to get to the end of it and still be present and still, you know, do all the things that you want to do. And that was my experience. And I love baking. I love cooking. I love this stuff, but I only have sometimes 20 minutes to put food on the table. And this was a very common experience. So I compiled all my favorite recipes into one book and I streamlined them to make them easier, to include all the time-saving hacks and just like make them as quick and easy as possible, but still super delicious, doable, and beautiful. So it's really about taking time away from tedious things and making time for the moments that matter. And that's what the book's all about.
I love that. I mean, you're a dad of two. You know how crazy and hectic everything is. I mean, how you know, time is so valuable. And I love that you're putting this book out there with the intention of being mindful of time, putting energy and fun into the time that really benefits a great meal in the end. What have you found is like the absolute key to being successful in the kitchen with children and being mindful of time?
I have a good answer for this because it's something I think about a lot of the time.
Love it.
Children and adults both have really high expectations of themselves. So if you've ever had a child who gets really frustrated and down on themselves, that's an opportunity for you to talk about the importance of failure, to manage expectations and also to find joy in the process. Like if you ever watch my YouTube channel, I make so many mistakes despite the best of intentions, but delicious things still happen. And just because something might fall flat or, you know, needs a tweak, I'm not going to let it ruin my day. It's about making something delicious, doing your best. And you tell kids that too. So manage their expectations first of all, because they're really in a pass or fail mode a lot of the time. So like I did it or I didn't. And they can understand the end product, but the process is what takes a while. And then the extension of that is to help them out. So, you know, it's called Preppy Kitchen because it's about being prepared. And we have to be prepared as adults, and so do your kids. So start them out really simple. Get them really confident with fine motor skills when they're really young. So they're whisking, they're just adding things in. Maybe teach them to fold, teach them to knead, and they could be messy. It's okay. That's a big thing for adults to do because it's like, my kitchen. But you have to like just, it's okay. You know, like maybe if you have a rug that you don't want to get messed up, maybe move the rug while the kids are here and just create an environment where they can be successful and we're not going to be stressed. Then you work to measing it out and having things pre-measured, but they're combining and they're doing all the processes. And then eventually, like, you know, my kids now, when they were five, started using a scale and they are understanding like, okay, when the number gets close to 180, we're going to stop. And like, how close is close to 180? And this is a really nice time to bring math in. You know, I'm an old math teacher, so I can't help myself. And talk about like estimation, accuracy, measurement. And like, there's so many nice conversations that you can have in the kitchen because you're all trying to make something delicious. Everyone's really present and focused. And it's one of the few times that you're actually using math. It's like, you'll use math in the kitchen as an adult. And you'll use math when you're remodeling a house and trying to calculate flooring or tile. That's it.
It's true. I mean, it's also so fun that you're not only talking about this in a way that's being mindful of the steps and the time and everything that goes into it, but it's almost like parenting in the kitchen, which is such a, to me, I mean, I'm obsessed with my mother. She did everything perfectly, continues to, you know, and the kitchen is not some place that I frequently hung out with my mom in because she didn't do, you know, like I'm not great cooking. I love baking, which is why everybody in my family loves your account so much because we just like to watch all of your baking videos. But I like this idea of spending time in the kitchen with your kids and doing something together, but also weaving in parenting moments, which is such a smart and also fun way of really tackling so many different things at once.
It's one of the few places in your house that you have to just really be together and focus in a way that you can't, you know, if your phone rings or you get a text, and you're doing something in the kitchen, you're going to let that hang out for a minute while you finish what you're doing. Because these are time-sensitive matters. If you're in the living room or even if you're in the garden, you might like stop, pause, and like you kind of lose that moment. But in the kitchen, things are different. It's like that last little tactile moment that you have that's not mediated through digital stuff.
I love that. And I'm definitely someone who loves the fact that this is something that I can actually like physically touch and earmark the pages and look at the beautiful pictures and imagery that you have in this book to see, not only to get me hungry as a pregnant person. I like saw this last night and I was like, I'm hungry again. Like it's, everything just looks so great.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. no hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We've talked about fatherhood. Your kids are how old now?
They just turned 7 in May.
Crazy. Because I remember when I first started following you, they were so little. Like, they were just like...
That's where they had hands like this on your fingers.
I know. Hands like that. The sweetest. So what's that been like for you? I mean, you've had career changes. You've clearly thrived in this space and continue to thrive in this space. And your kids are such a big part of all that you do. I mean, your social media, your cooking and doing this cookbook. So what's that been like as a busy dad?
It's been nice having the kids get older and they see me in the kitchen and they really want to participate. So I never have to ask them to come and help me. They always ask me if they can come help me, which, aww, you know, and sometimes I'm doing like I'm stir frying something. I'm like, no, it's too hot. But you have like fine moments. They're like, okay, how about you help me like, you know, de-string these snap peas, or there's all these things they can do. And they just want to help. And in our family, we talk about what it means to be a family, because you can get really comfortable with just kind of doing things for your kids. And we all want to do things for our kids. Like, that's our job. But we're a family, so we help each other. And we talk about, like, what is your job as a child? And how can you help the family? Maybe that's helping to clean up your things. Maybe you're going to want to help in the kitchen. Or maybe, you know, you're going to just be mindful of, like, doing something nice. It's like, everyone has something they can do, and it's not a one-way street. So they kind of eventually internalize that, and they're wondering, like, well, what can I do today? Like, how can I help? Nice.
I love that. Like, all helping each other. It's such a great overarching theme to have in your family. And then, of course, to have that in the kitchen is also very helpful. I would imagine as they get older also, you can start really having them do fun things in the kitchen with you. My girls now are 3.5 and 2. So we're like doing the pancakes in the morning and
that's so fun.
Helping put the plates together, those kinds of things. But as they get older, especially for you, I'm sure that's so fun to be able to have them be more hands-on with you.
It really is. Like, the pancake thing is funny because George loves pancakes and Lachlan loves waffles. So they switch sometimes. And like in the morning, I don't know who you are, but I am like there, but like at half speed. That's being generous. Like,
yeah.
So you're trying, and but there's like high expectations on the weekend for something delicious. So I developed a recipe in the book that worked for super fluffy pancakes, because we all like a nice fluffy, tender, cakey pancake. But it also works for a perfect waffle. So they're like perfectly sweet, nice and golden, crispy and fluffy on the inside. That way you can kind of like multitask and you have two things going at once, but you don't feel like a total short order cook because the recipe works in two different ways.
I mean, that's such a big part of parenting though, is that it's like catering, if you have multiple kids, catering to different kids' needs. Also, if you have a significant other who has a different palate than your children, that's also like another thing that you have to keep track of. So for you, I mean, you're feeding yourself, you're feeding your kids, you're feeding your partner. Like, how do you do all of that while making sure each person's needs are met, but not cooking 100 different meals?
So what I try to do in the rule in our house is I'm not going to force feed someone and make them eat something they don't like, because I think that's cruel and like doesn't set a kid up with a nice expectation of like food and having a good relationship with it. But what you do have to do is try things out. So you have to take a couple bites and really, like, you know, have new flavors, and maybe you'll be surprised and maybe you won't, but you gave it a good go. And like, if there's something, my compromise is often to like do some separation. So it's not just one mash of everything together. Like there's a little bit of rice, there's some veggies, there's like the main course, and maybe there's like a side of a salad or something else. And, you know, you'll try everything, but I'm not going to make you eat everything. And the nice thing is that at dinner is so high stakes for adults because we are, one, at the end of our day and kind of tired. So we're like, let's get through this. But it's also a really important meal for us. But for kids, especially with mine and the way their snacking schedule goes with school and summer camp, by the time dinner rolls around, they're like just a little bit peckish. They're rarely hungry. So I don't have to worry about like them getting all the calories because they've been eating and snacking throughout the day. And it's nice to kind of have that understanding and think, you know, this is an important meal for me. I'm really hungry, but my kid might not necessarily be. So I'm not going to like make them finish their plate.
I'm wondering as you're talking about this, like even when you think about being like a busy dad like yourself and getting to the end of the day, and then it's also like this is your specialty is being in the kitchen and making these amazing meals for your kids. And then you're also exhausted. Some days are longer than others. You have two kids, you have a full life, you have people you have to pay attention to, things you need to do. And if there's one theme that I always take from your account, it's just like positivity and happiness, because you're always like, you always have a big smile on your face. You're always like upbeat. Everything always looks really beautiful. And even if you mess something up, it still manages to look really beautiful and stay happy. But I mean, how do you stay so positive and so upbeat?
I don't know. I think it's nice to have perspective. And it can be really easy for us to get locked into negativity and let like an internal repeating monologue happen of something we're unhappy with. But you have to kind of like, you have to break yourself out of that because it's a miserable place to be. And part of that for me personally is just like looking at the broader things. So like, I have so much that I could be grateful for and so much to be appreciative of that. It's not that I deny myself bad feelings or say that I'm not allowed to have them, but it's nice to put things in perspective because it just kind of gives you the freedom to move from place to place emotionally, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. When we were asking people for questions, which everybody loves to ask you so many questions, so I have a lot, but for someone like myself, who's not as well versed in the kitchen as you are, what would you say is a great kind of first dish to master as someone who's learning to cook and someone who's wanting to bake?
Ooh, you know what? If you can, I was at my friend's house yesterday and he was asking, what do you cook daily? Like, what is your meal like? And that with this question gives me a nice answer. So if you can manage what some people would call like a basic stir fry, meaning you have like pieces of meat that you can brown and you have like, for me, onion, garlic, and leek. Leeks are very important, or shallots. Like you have those flavors with some veggies and you have those three components. You can swap the sauces and the marinades out at will and make many delicious dinners. Like one of the things I like to make for my family is like an apricot chicken. And that's like little cubes of chicken that are browned. There's onions and garlic, and I'll use like some stock cubes to like flavor it up with some herbs. And then that gets simmered with some, you know, dried apricots and maybe some apricot jam. And it's delicious and sticky. And I always fold in some nice like parboiled veggies. So like, do not overboil your vegetables. Do not forget to salt your water liberally. You're pouring salt into the water because that lets you taste the asparagus, the broccoli, and anything else. If not, you don't taste anything. It's just annoying. So then you can like make different things. You could add, if you take out the apricots, you could have added sun-dried tomatoes, artichokes, and olives, and some white wine. You could, you know, do like a light cream sauce. You could do a tomato sauce. You can just go in many different directions with that basic set of like three things: your onion, garlic, your chicken, and your veggies.
That was such a surprising answer to me. I don't think I would have ever pegged stir fry as being something to master, but it's kind of exciting because it's not such a perfectionist.
It's like, it's just throw it together. Like, buy some Thai red chili paste, marinate your chicken cubes or beef cubes or whatever in that, and then save, have like more Thai chili paste for wrapping up the end with a simmer in coconut milk, and you add some water chestnuts or bamboo shoots, some like snap peas, and it's delicious.
This is making me very hungry.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
What about baking? I feel like that's really fun. Everybody loves when someone's baking something in the kitchen. But what would you say is like a great first thing to master with baking?
So what I want to tell you is not a thing to master, but a two important pitfalls to avoid. Because okay. Everyone has different tastes. So like let's make this applicable to everybody. One, here, use a scale. I have several in my kitchen. If you use a scale, you're going to add the right amount of flour in. And when you're making a recipe for something sweet, that's like a cake or whatever, your goal is to add as little flour as you can so that there's a structure that holds together and it works. But if you add too much flour, it becomes dry and bready and dense and like more like, what's that? And if you add too little, it collapses. So just using a scale gives you the right amount, because when you scoop flour up, you're packing it in, you're using like 80% more than the recipe calls for. So you do the recipe and you're like, oh, I did it perfectly. It doesn't taste great. And you're like, oh, what a sad recipe. I shall never use that again. But it's just that you added too much flour by accident because you used a scoop. The second thing is just don't overmix your batter. So if you just like, I never finish mixing a batter with a mixer. I turn it off like halfway through and I just fold it together with my spatula. Because that way you're not going to have the proteins or gluten in the flour activated. And what happens, let's say you overmixed it, comes out of the oven, my oven's back there. It looks perfect. You're like, amazing. I can't wait to eat this. But as it cools, it shrinks down and becomes dense and gummy and your disappointment increases. And you're like, oh, what happened? It's because as it shrinks down, the proteins in the flour are yanking everything back together and it doesn't even taste the same. It could be the exact same recipe as something delicious you had at a restaurant. It'll taste totally different because of the way it melts on your palate. It's like dense and gummy and unattractive. So,
okay. So everybody needs to buy a scale.
Yes.
Got to have a scale and you got to chill on the mixing. Just do it halfway.
This saves you dishes too. It is super easy. So like less measuring cups, less bowls, less things. Like everything that gets poured into one thing, you're just tearing the scale.
Okay. Well, I would have said that I really feel like a great baker, but I don't even own that scale. So clearly I need to...
You could be an intuitive, wonderful baker and not... My mom does not have a scale to this day. Oh, so maybe you are amazing, but not everyone is as amazing as you naturally, and we're not going to hold them to your standard.
Thank you. I mean, one thing that I really messed up recently when it came to baking, because I've been having such a fun time baking, especially as my girls have gotten older. That's one thing that I always did with my mom in the kitchen is baking, and it's fun. Everybody loves a sweet treat. And recently I just had a disastrous situation with an angel food cake.
Oh no.
Which was like, it was surprisingly so much harder than I thought that it would be. And I didn't realize it was so precise and just, you know, you need to be so specific. So I was like, I need to just tell John this because it was a disaster. I had to go do the whole thing over again in a totally different way. And it was much more, I mean, I'm sure for you, it's also really exciting because it's mathematical, very precise, scientific.
I just love angel food cake, to be honest. I make it often in the summer. It's like a very light, delicious thing to have.
It's so good. And it's actually, I grew up having it all the time because it was my grandma's favorite thing to have.
Oh.
So I tried and it was, both of my girls were like, "What happened, mommy?" I was like, "Don't look at me."
It is a very delicate cake. I'm going to tell you, it's not the beginner's start here cake. So it's easy to make a mistake with that. But sometimes the weather could just be bad. Like if it was foggy on that day, then you might have just, it maybe wasn't your fault because egg whites only like dry weather.
Oh, okay. Well, that would have also been helpful to know. Okay. We talked a little bit about just like the career change path that you have been on, which I think so many people love the idea of that, but actually executing on that and doing it, and then seeing someone like yourself who's so successful in the space that you chose to transition into is really encouraging and exciting for so many people. And then also leaves people like, how do I go from a math teacher like you did to putting out a cookbook and making such beautiful videos and YouTube videos of nourishing your family, cooking and baking? Do you have any kind of big takeaways or tips for people who might be finding themselves in a similar position?
Yeah, I mean, one, of course, find something you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I was always passionate about food. And I'm passionate about education. My mom, I've told you before, but you know, she literally ran away from home as a teenager when she was in Mexico because her dad wouldn't let her go to school. And she, you know, took a very circuitous route, but eventually when we were older, she like put herself through night school to get a high school diploma and went all the way to get a doctoral degree in education. So I saw her as like a personal hero and followed her footsteps and became a teacher myself. And I still, honestly, people ask me what I do, like at a party or whatever. And what I want to say is I teach people how to cook, because that's, in my mind, the most accurate thing. That is, I'm still a teacher. I just teach about food. And so for me, the progression seems very random to go from being a teacher to like having a cookbook. But it's, for me, it feels like a smooth pivot because I am still using the same skills that I had as a teacher. Teachers have to like break complex things down into simple pieces so everyone can experience success. And you're doing a similar thing when you're teaching people how to cook, because it can be quite complicated or daunting. People have math anxiety. People have cooking or baking anxiety too. Like my job is just to kind of assuage that and say, hey, it's okay. Let's start from step one and show you what the process is, and also show you what I'm going to do wrong, because people get stuff wrong in the kitchen and that's okay.
Yeah.
But the other piece of advice I would give if someone's considering changing is, after thinking it out and having a plan, to just do it. Like, you were very kind and said I had nice YouTube videos. But when I first started, I started making YouTube videos because people were asking me for more details. And I love talking, apparently. So I wanted to like do something longer than an Instagram video to kind of share all the ins and outs of a recipe. And I started a YouTube channel and it was not great. I was like not natural on like camera at all. And it was a process, but I just kind of stuck to it and I kept doing it. And I like tried to learn from my failures, and eventually I got better. Like, and I, same thing with taking photos. Like I actually went to art school and took photography classes, but they were conceptual photography classes for fine art, which is completely different from photographing food, because food does not look great when you try to take photos of it. It's very difficult.
It's really to photograph food well is a talent for sure.
So I had to like really work on that for years to get to be like okay at photographing food and videoing it. And when people start something new, just like we said at the beginning, with kids in the kitchen having high expectations, it's okay to fail and it's okay to not be the best. Just keep trying. And if you're passionate about it and you really care about it, then it's a fun process to learn and improve.
When you were saying that it kind of made sense to you to make the switch from teaching math to teaching people how to cook and that you've always loved food, did you have any worry about, like, am I going to be good at this? Like, do I have what it takes to be really successful in the kitchen? Is this more than just a hobby or something that entertains me or people? Or because going from having an interest in food to putting out a cookbook over years, of course, yeah. But that's like a big jump.
I was lucky to have my husband who believed in me and gave me a lot of constructive criticism. You know, like yeah. My first thing I photographed, I was like, this cake is so delicious. And he's like, it doesn't look delicious. His most important and semi-harsh advice was like, people can't taste anything on Instagram. So it has to look nice too. I was like, okay, I need to like do a better job of like everything basically. So it was a nice bit of feedback to spur some improvement. But I didn't know if it would work out. I just knew that it was something that I really wanted to try out and that I really wanted it to work out. So did I think I would be where I am now? Absolutely not. I'm continually shocked, but I'm so happy that it worked out.
Did you have to do anything like in a culinary school or was it just kind of trial and error with how you became so successful with certain recipes or created them on your own?
I came into it with like a hobbyist's knowledge set. So I'd always like grown up in the kitchen. My mother loves kind of like traveling the world in her kitchen. She has so many cookbooks and always wanted to try new flavors and see how like you can play with them and mash them up. And I was there to help her. So I gained a lot of practical experience from her. And then when it was coming to things like making some fancy French tarts, and there's like a lamination process and all this, that's where like I put my teacher hat on. I was like, okay, time to research and let's learn it up. So I didn't do the culinary courses. I've gotten better at my mincing, which is like one of my weak points.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I love that you also credit your husband in this because so much of this really is about having somebody who will hold you accountable or who will give you constructive criticism, especially when it comes to a big career change or following your passion. We all like this idea of finding your passion and then being able to build a job within whatever that passion is. And for some people, it works really well. For other people, it's, you know, much more challenging. But having somebody by your side who is going to be the person to kind of cheer you on and also be honest with you is such an important part of it. And I'm sure was such an integral part of it for you
completely
in this whole process.
Because it's not easy to be consistent. And consistency is completely the key. Someone who is this talented and inconsistent versus someone who is, you know, half as talented, but very consistent and always does what they need to do. The more talented person will not be as successful because you just have to keep working at it and you have to keep going. You can't stop.
How do you and your husband throughout the day, how do you guys kind of divide and conquer when it comes to your kids and work and everything else in life that you have going on?
So he does basically all the behind the scenes stuff.
Oh my gosh.
So like I can't read a contract at all, but it's like his love language is like, he can just like, as though he were a lawyer, even better than lawyers.
Wow.
He does all the behind the scenes stuff and I'll do the food stuff. And it's a really great partnership because like I'm not a numbers person by any means, despite being a math teacher, which everyone likes teasing me for.
I know. That's a wild statement.
I got the concepts.
I know. Oh my gosh. That's so great.
I'm the creative person and he's like the analytical mind.
I love that. What amazing partnership that you guys have been able to have together, raise your kids, and obviously be able to put out such an exciting book. I mean, I'm so excited for this. I was just remarking at book tours when you have a cookbook are always so much more exciting than when you have a book that doesn't appeal to people with like all of the yumminess that's in your book. Before we go, do you have a favorite recipe in this book that everybody should give a try to ASAP when they get it?
This is very difficult, but all the recipes are super easy. And there is an easy birthday cake in the book, like a perfect birthday cake. But this on the back cover is what I make for my birthday. And it's like an Italian style lemony olive oil cake.
Wow.
Which is so tender and like just melts in your mouth like a souffle cloud. But then it has a ton of whipped cream that's stabilized with mascarpone, which is a type of cheese that tastes just like heavy cream. And it's folded in. And then all your favorite berries go in the middle and on top. And it is just perfectly sweet. You could have the most giant piece ever and not feel sick afterwards because it's not cloying. It's just like so nicely balanced. And I highly suggest it. In fact, that's what you should make if you're a beginning baker. That's the one.
I mean, my husband's favorite thing for his birthday, which we just had his birthday, is like a triple berry cake. But this looks way better. So I'm going to have to...
Lady Jane's is gone. So you got to try something new now.
I mean, this is... I think I'm definitely the muffins I'm going to tackle right away. Maybe I'll give angel food cake another try this summer. But this whole book is just so beautiful. It's the pictures are beautiful. The recipes are really approachable and fun. And this book also tackles both cooking and baking, which I love. And I'm so happy for you. This is so exciting. Congratulations. Thank you for taking time to do this. And also giving us parents creative ways to involve our children and just be okay with the mess that it leaves in the kitchen.
It is what it is. You can't pretend that everything's perfect. Unless you have a fake kitchen, which I don't have.
I mean, your kitchen is so beautiful that it looks like it's fake. But of course, for you, it's so functional. So I love that.
I had the best time talking to you. Thank you so much for having me over.
Thank you so much, John. Congratulations. This is so exciting.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to John Cannell for such a wonderful interview that has left me starving and wanting to jump right into making a variety of things in this cookbook. I'm so excited. This whole cookbook is mapped out for people on the go, parents who want to involve their kids or not involve their kids in baking and cooking. So this is such a great book, a great thing to be doing as we come out of summer and into the fall. And I'm so excited for you. Thanks, John.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.